You know, this morning, I really wanted to encourage us to take advantage of our ability to be in the presence of God. How many know that access is very important? Access is a wonderful thing. You know, the ability for my sons, my kids, to go in the refrigerator and don't even have to think about it, take whatever they want, not even have to think about who fills it up. Access is a wonderful thing. But I bet you they would think twice if one day they went to the refrigerator and there was a password required to open up the refrigerator. Now, I don't want to give anybody no ideas. But again, access is a wonderful thing. And you know, as believers, you know, one of the things that I'm learning in this journey is that as I go through this journey to appreciate some of the things that God has done, you know, our access is perfected through Christ. The ability for us to enter into the presence of God, the ability to, as a matter of fact, the word says, enter into his presence boldly, that you may obtain mercy in your time of need. Boldly, say confidently. Why? Because he has perfected our access. So this morning, so what exactly is access? What exactly does access mean? You know, a couple of definitions that I like. It says access is a way of getting near, at, or something or someone. The one that I really like, it says, is permission or the right to enter. The right to enter. If you don't have the right to enter, you ain't getting in. The right to enter. To get near or make use of something or have contact with someone. But if you think about it as a believer, there was once a time when our access was not so direct. There was once a time when if we wanted to get to God, we had to go through somebody in order for them to petition on our behalf. The Bible called these individuals priests. Priests. So a priest is somebody that makes sacrifice. So in the Old Testament, priests would offer up sacrifice on behalf of the people. The people of God, the Israelites, when they came out of the promised land, God gave them certain commandments. And as part of these commandments, there were consequences. Basically, the commandments were a covenant between them and God. And as a result, because they couldn't enter directly, God separated a tribe called the Levites to administer portions of what the covenant entails. So if, if, for example, the commandment said, do not steal, and I stole, guess what? I would have to find a priest who would offer up sacrifice, a sin offering, for example, in order for God to accept and say, you know what? I'm good with Joe right now, okay? So I'm going to go through this a little bit, but Hebrews chapter 7. And we're talking about access, our access to the throne of God. You know, when you woke up this morning and you prayed to God, guess what? Did you have to think about it? You were directly in the presence of God. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Father, made it possible for me to have direct access to the presence of God. You were instantly transformed into a supernatural realm. Why? Because Jesus Christ made it possible. And when you prayed, God saw Jesus, saw you, and said, entry, access granted. Immediately. Isn't access a wonderful thing? So Hebrews chapter 7. And so I want to cover a little bit of a background here, because it talks about the Hebrews starts off with this mysterious figure, if you would, called Melchizedek. Okay. Melchizedek, if you go back to the Old Testament, if you go back to Genesis, so Genesis 14, it talks about Melchizedek, who was the priest of the Most High. And it talks about an encounter with Melchizedek as Abraham was returning from battle. Lot, his nephew, had been captured by some kings who had taken over, and Abraham pursued him and conquered. And it talks about this strange encounter with this figure, this mysterious figure called Melchizedek. And you say, what in the world? Where did Melchizedek come from? Well, this Melchizedek was also described as the priest of the Most High. And now you're like, okay, so what's going on? Because I thought the priests were the Levites. But he says Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High. As a matter of fact, Melchizedek, his name meant king of righteousness and king of peace. So if you could, so we're thinking congregation. So if you could kind of piece that together, it's actually given us a picture of what is to come. So it's saying, so this Melchizedek, so seemingly came out of nowhere, described as the priest of the Most High, offered sacrifices to God. Abraham, after returning from the battle, gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek. How does Abraham, whose lineage came the Levites, was able to offer sacrifices or able to offer offering to Melchizedek, who was considered the priest of the Most High? So, you know, follow me for a minute as we go down that trail, and you know, we'll bring it all in. I promise you, by the end of this, we'll bring it all in. It'll all make sense. All right? Amen? So, the writer of the Hebrews, Paul, started off by talking about Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High. So this individual came out of nowhere and basically was a resemblance of Christ, so our future hope. His name, like I said, meant king of righteousness and king of priests, and he was considered of a greater priesthood. So we talk about a priest who was somebody that offers sacrifices on our behalf, and a priesthood talks about the lineage of priests. So Melchizedek, like I said, is a picture of the Most High. So let's pick it up from verse 11. So Hebrews 7, verse 11. So the question is, so why is that relevant? So you're looking at me and say, okay, so why do I care? You know, what really is Paul trying to tell us about this priesthood? Well, really, he's telling us that there was once a time when we had to sacrifices being offered to God was not perfect, and it had to make made perfect. So let's pick it up at verse 11. So it says, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. It says, therefore, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, wherefore the need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron. So Paul says, if sacrifices to God was perfect, and if it was perfected through the Levitical priesthood, because these are the people that actually got the commandments. So what, or the law? So what exactly is the law? What exactly is the law? So the law back then was a moral code. So the law, or a guide for living. The law was a covenant between God and his people. The law was designated to make us aware of an offense against God or ourselves. So if I go outside in a parking lot today and I saw Mr. Tommy Vann's Audi A8 and I say, you know what, I want to jump in and go for a joyride. Well, without the law, I wouldn't know that that was just stealing. I would think I'm just going for a joyride. The law made me aware that, you know what, I don't need to take his car and just take it for a spin. Because guess what? That is an offense to him, and he wouldn't take that very kindly. Maybe if I gave it a car wash, it'd be okay. But again, the law was instituted to show me my sin. The law was instituted to say, you know what? There is such a way to live that's not only, there is a way to relate to God, and there is a way to relate to my fellow human beings. That's why the law was instituted. The law was also showed us, I already said, to relate, how we are to relate to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? Because the name of the Lord our God is to be cherished. And finally, so the law also was God's ultimate standard. The law was God's ultimate standard. And finally, the law was to point us towards a Savior. If you've read the Ten Commandments, so we know the law as the Ten Commandments. But in essence, there were other laws that were put in place to help you work out the Ten Commandments. So here it is. Imagine this. We said, okay, you shall keep the Sabbath day holy. But okay, so what is the Sabbath? So I say the Sabbath is on Saturday. You say the Sabbath is on a Sunday. Well, who wins? It was never really defined. So as a result, we added more laws on top of laws. Isn't it like, so if you live in Illinois, you know about laws and laws being attached on top of laws in order to make you do the law that was already instituted. So it became messy, right? It became messy, it became confusing. So the law was really an anticipation of the coming Savior to point us to the fact that we could not do it all by ourselves and that we needed a Savior. That's why the law was instituted. So this is what Paul is talking about. So Paul is saying, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for under it they received the law, and we already know what the law is, what further need was there for another priest to arise? Not so similarly to Melchizedek, who we found out came out of nowhere seemingly, was of a higher priesthood, and even the Levitical priest gave a tenth. Abraham gave a tenth to him. So, verse 12, it says, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, it is also a change of the law. So we talked about the law not quite being perfect. So I like to look at it as the law was limited in its ability. So the law pointed out my faults, but he never really told me how to fix it. The law was limited in its ability. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken of belong to another tribe, from which no man has officiated an altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And Paul is simply trying to say, listen, Jesus came from a different lineage than the Levites. Jesus, so when the law was instituted by Moses, so the Levitical, the tribe of Levites were the ones set apart and set aside to offer sacrifices, to offer offering to God. But guess what? Jesus just showed up out of the scene from the tribe of Judah. So that's what Paul is trying to say here in verse 15. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek, or in the resemblance of Melchizedek, that there arise another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. Not according to the law of fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. Let's explore that for a minute. So, fleshly commandments. We talked about the law addressing the external. So really no power, it doesn't focus on the heart issue. Yeah. You know, the external is just a reflection of what's in there. Yeah. So the law says, you know what? Do not steal, but what's causing me to steal? Do not kill, but you know what? The Bible says out of the heart, right? The issues of life. Yeah. Out of, you know, when I speak out of my mouth, what directs that? Yeah. It's what's in my heart. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So the fleshly commandments. So verse 17, and I'll go on for a minute. So verse 17, so he says, well, let me back up a little bit and hit that. So he says, verse 16, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life, for he testifies. So this is God. God is testifying. He says, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there was an annulling of the former commandments because of its weakness and unprofitableness. So let's look again at the law. So the issue with the law was that it had limited power. So we already talked about its focus on the external. It only pointed out to my fault. It did not administer any mercy or grace. There was no opportunity for that. There was no room for that. If you steal, guess what? You're done. That's it. That's it. There's no mercy. Who are you going to plead to? If you kill, the penalty for killing is death. Right away. So the law had no provision, if you would, for mercy, for grace. Grace is a very important thing, as we all know. You know, if my son, during the course of throwing the football in the living room, as Joshua is accustomed to do, and breaks the TV, which has happened, guess what? I don't say, Joshua, you're done. I don't say, Joshua, go buy me another TV. I look at it, I say, well, I look at my son as a compassionate father, which our Father, our Heavenly Father, looks upon us. And I say, one day you're going to pay me back, boy. But but today, you're just 5 years old. Today, you're just 5 years old. Your mama going to make me buy her a new TV. But today, you are just 5 years old, and you're just being a child. Our Heavenly Father sees our journey. He sees our path. He knows what we're going to become one day. Why? He destined it. You know, he talks about the desires of our heart. He destined it. He wants the best for us. He knows that one day we're going to be in that position where we will get it. We won't do the same things. We won't repeat the same mistakes that we used to in the past. So he has mercy on us. He gives us grace. He said, well, the next time, take the football outside and throw it outside. This is a better way to do it, not in the house. So, you see, it pointed to my faults. The law pointed to my faults. No room for mercy, no room for grace. The other thing is, I am exhausted. You ever try to keep the Ten Commandments? I am exhausted. You know, you can't even do number one, right? Because number one talks about your heart, your soul, your mind, all of that, giving all of that to God. How hard is that to do? Can't keep it all. You know, in an encounter with the rich young ruler, I like that story, by the way. That boy was rich. So, an encounter with the rich young ruler, he came to Christ. He said, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, honor your father and mother. He said, man, check, I got that locked. He says, you know, do this, do that. He said, hey, I got that locked. And Jesus said, well, why don't you sell everything you have and come follow me? You know, he started off saying, all these commandments I have kept, even from when I was a boy, I have done it all. Well, his parents would have something to say about that, but he was fooled into believing that he could keep it all. But there was one standard, because God examines the heart. He was fooled to thinking that, you know what, his covetousness, his desire to be greedy, was going to make him, was going to grant him access to God. But Jesus cut right at the chase and say, you give all that money away? And really, he wasn't, if you examine it, he wasn't asking him to give his money away. He was really testing him. Where really is your heart at? So you think about it, even the most of us that think that we can do everything that it says to do, by the time you're done doing it and you got to do it over again, you're exhausted. So the issue with the law and its limited power is that I am exhausted. I can't keep it all. The other issue is that atonement is through another. So what would it look like if today, I violated one of the commandments. I come to Pastor Sunday, and I say, Pastor Sunday, I need to make a sacrifice to God. I need to offer up a sin offering to God, or I need to give gratitude to God. And Pastor Sunday says, hold on, Joe. I got to go in the back. I got to get this goat. No offense to Cub fans. I got to get this goat. I got to get this goat. And by the way, I got to get dressed up in a certain attire. I got to, first of all, before I can make a sacrifice offering for you, I need to make a sacrifice offering for myself. And then after that, we'll kill this goat and God will accept it and that'll be it. Sounds very ridiculous, don't it? But that's the way it used to be. See, it's interesting that we don't think about the benefits that we have until we have to examine it. Until we have to dig in and say, well, so what did it cost somebody in order for me to be able to do this? If our children said, what does it cost my parents every morning, every day, sacrificing certain things, their luxuries, they could be rolling in a GL, but they'll settle for a Toyota, which is a good car, in order for me to have a better benefit. We don't really examine our access to God until we say, you know what? And sometimes we take it for granted. Perspective, the perspective to say, you know what? What did it cost? And you know what? Really, it points to how much God loved you. Our parents loved us by sacrificing certain things because they want the best for us. And so they are willing to go the extra mile, right? So let's keep going on. The final thing, talking about the law and its limitation, was that perpetual sacrifice for sin. There was a perpetual sacrifice for sin. Had to be done over and over and over. Did I say over? And over again. Over and over and over again. So I submit to you, if we were in a court of law, and I like to debate, but if we were in a court of law, I submit to you that there was a need for a better way. There was a need for a better priest. There was a need for a better priesthood. So let's pick it up on, I think we were at verse 20. So verse 20 says, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, meaning he will not go back on his word. You are priests forever according to the according to the order of Melchizedek. So this is talking about God backing up his promise to give us a better way of access to him. So verse 22, it said, by so much more. Can everybody say that with me? By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better commandment. It said, Paul says, by so much more, far beyond what you could ever imagine or think when you compare Jesus Christ to those other priests. Jesus Christ, by so much more, by leaps and bounds, have become more of a better covenant and a better way to get to God. That's what Paul is saying, by so much more. As a matter of fact, he's saying God backed it up through an oath. God backed it up through it. Oh, God said, you know what? I'm going to give you Jesus Christ according to the order of Melchizedek, meaning somebody who was higher, somebody who wasn't of a fleshly commandment, somebody who was not weak, somebody who did not have the same faults that all these other priests have. By so much more, Jesus Christ has become the bond. The bond. So he put, God put himself on the line to give us, to give us a better priest, a better way of access to him. Isn't that good news? Said, ride that horse. Here we go. So, a better way of drawing near to God. This is the good news. Through Christ. Why? Through Christ. Because what? Christ lives forever. So, let's pick it up. Verse 23. So, he said, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Through Christ, he lives forever. Guess what? Christ made the sacrifice one time, and it was once and done. He doesn't. There's no need for another priest to step in the way. When Christ died and was resurrected by God, guess what? That was the end of it. The sacrifice was considered perfect as perfect can be. It was done. So Paul is saying, guess what? You had so many priests, but guess what? When you examine Christ, he lives forever. He's not going to die. There is no death. And then it talks about verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Because he lives forever, he has an unchangeable. The guarantee is there that when we access God through Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the bait and switch. Jesus Christ remains the same in the presence of God, administering sacrifice, being our advocate, being the one who stands in place of us continually. There is no need of anything else to be added to Jesus Christ. God sees you. God sees me. And God sees Jesus Christ, and he says, access granted. Access granted. Verse 25 said, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So God brokered a better covenant for us. God's covenant is with us is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ sealed the deal. Jesus Christ sealed the deal. It was considered perfect. Verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us. It even says this is what we deserved. For such a high priest was fitting for us. You ever think about a God who considers what you need and tailors it to you? Tailors it. He doesn't just give you any old package. You know, when at my job, everybody has custom. I like custom. Yeah. I like custom. If I want 22-inch rims, I get custom 22-inch rims. If Mr. Myers wants 20s, he get 20s. Yeah. Custom package. You know, when we are at work, they give us all the same benefits. But when you graduate to a certain level, the executive level, they start customizing your package. You get a golden parachute. You get stuff that nobody else has access to. Custom pack. God loves us so much that he customized our package through Jesus Christ. Said, for such a high priest was fitting for us. Who is holy? For such a high priest was fitted for us who is holy. Jesus Christ was holy. Harmless. No threat to God. Because he's no threat to God, I'm no threat to God. harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Jesus Christ, in my progression to do this thing right, is my model. It's my model of perfection. When God sees Jesus Christ, he sees Joe, and he said, Joe is no threat. Joe is my son, and I love him. Access granted. It says, I didn't lose my place. I got excited. It says, verse 27, he said, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people? For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. This he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of oath, so the promise of God, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And my good news to you today is because he's perfected, you are perfected as well. You know, the hardest thing for us to do is to operate as children of God, realizing our many benefits in him. You know, it's easy when we seasons and circumstances and changing conditions to think that we are not accepted by God. But my message to you today is, because Jesus Christ paid it all, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what season you're in. It doesn't matter what circumstances that you are going through. Because Jesus Christ is perfect, God sees you as perfect. What he's saying is, I gave you a model. And you too can strive towards being this model one day. But you know what? While you're still on the journey, I accept you. And it's not going to change. It's never going to change. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes I pray, and the first thing I start off with, you know what, God, I thank you today because of my high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who allows me access into your presence, not having to think about it, not having to face the east, not having to face the west. I could be driving and I could access that throne. The door is always open. Why? Because Jesus Christ, my Savior, the perfect sacrifice, made it possible for me to touch, to access the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is the great I am, the one who holds the world and does not change regardless of what's changing in my world. He is a sovereign God, and no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstance is, he remains the same. He is unchanging. This is the hope that we have. All right, I'm gonna wrap this thing up. So our access perfected. We have direct access to God. We have the benefit, I should say, of our access being perfected. Direct access to God. The end of a preoccupation with my status with God. I don't have to worry about, I'm focused on the wrong things. God is saying, listen, man, that's done with. There's a better way to live. You're focused on what you did, you know, yesterday and last year and the year before. Listen, move on beyond that. You don't have to be preoccupied with the state you're in. All I need you to do is look at me. Look at Jesus, the model that I provided for you. Realize that you have been perfected. Realize that the sacrifice that he's offered is done. It's finished. We don't have to talk about that no more. We don't have to talk about this. We don't have to have this conversation over and over again. All I need you to do is to trust in me and to trust that the finished work of Christ has done it all. So we have an assurance that God hears us and he sees us as perfect. Amen.